Shit, shit, shit sandwich.
What the fuck is your problem?
Shut up, you freak!
Thanks, I needed that.
Welcome to the real world.
Our department.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
You are the leading asshole in the state.
Bitch, please.
Pass the duchy, my friends.
Remember, a Jedi can feel the Force flowing through him.
What were you doing when the lights went out?
Birdie, num-num.
Lynch me for what my people have done to your people.
Oh, durka-durka-durka.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
Warning, if you want your asses blown out, stay in the room.
Hello, and welcome to Dave and Shecky's Groovy Boob Tube Review. I am Morpheus. No, I am Dave.
You just gave it away. And I am Shecky. And in our podcast, what we like to do is review movies that are currently available to you via the old boob tube. And for you guys too young to know what boob tube is, tell them, Dave.
It's an item you can get at the Pink Pussycat Bouquet.
No.
Boutique.
There is...
Okay. Can I have the Pink Pussycat Bouquet?
No. It's...
Boutique?
It's your television. I don't know why I had to go to the porn. Because of the word boob?
That's how everyone comes to our site. They cross-reference, you see. They type in boob, and they get us by accident, and then they're pleasantly intrigued.
We had one... Because we do our show, and our show is hosted by the great folks at Podomatic. And on our statistics page that I can go in and check in my account, I get to see how people have searched us out. And believe it or not, some people searched out Malton Minute.
All right.
And then some people searched out, somehow they searched out Rate Boobs.
Rate?
Rate. So we must have had the word rate.
Oh.
You know, if you have the word rate.
Rate your movie.
And boobs.
Right. Kind of like a.
We rated the movie, you know. Or maybe it was rating.
I think it's rateyourboobs.com they were looking for.
I mean, they would have just put that in. They just were Googling rate boobs and Malton Minute.
Yeah. To each his own. It's a whole fetish out there. Malton, Leonard Malton and rating boobs. It's a weird thing. It's very erotic.
I can't imagine people would actually, unless it was Leonard Malton or someone in his immediate family, I don't know why people would be searching Malton Minute. Unless they hated it like we did.
No, people actually give that guy the time of day.
Ugh, unbelievable. It's like, I can't even... Anyway, on pay-per-view this week, boy oh boy... Between pay-per-view, Showtime, HBO, the movie channel, and Encore, there was not one thing on that we were, like, interested in.
That was your poo-poo platter.
It was horrible.
Proverbial poo-poo platter. Yeah, you know, I don't know, maybe it's me. But I'm not interested in Hoodwinked very much. Maybe. Is it? Is it good? Because from the description that they give, I don't know what the hell's going on.
You know what? It seems like it's okay. But the truth of the matter is that it seems like we've been inundated with animated movies lately. I mean, we have done our fair share of reviews of animated movies and kids' movies. And it seems like that's what a lot of the pay-per-view is. You know, the Nanny McPhee, the Hoodwinked.
Well, that makes sense, actually. Because, see, what happens is it's like you're putting your... The food at the eye level of the kid, and then he nags the parent to get it. So the kids are watching TV, the electronic babysitter, and they see these things that they want to watch, and then they have to pay for it. As a parent, you have to pay for it. So you see, it's really pay per child.
Do you think the kids are smart enough to go and look at what's going on in pay-per-view?
Oh, yeah, they run that goddamn thing.
I didn't realize. But, I mean, that must be what it is.
I want pay-per-view. I want to watch Pocahontas get raped by a white man.
You know, that kind
of
stuff.
Well, that's not a little kid's movie, though, The New World. But the truth of the matter is that it does make sense because, you know, for a lot of these pay-per-view movies, you pay $3.99 and you get it for the whole day. So if your kid wants to watch Hoodwinked for the next 24 hours...
And what kid wouldn't?
I don't know. I mean, it looks like it's kind of cute, but it's just we've done so many animated movies, so many kids' movies that I can't do another one so soon.
I second that emotion.
And so we had to go, and we had to go into our own stash here at home, because we just couldn't find anything. And we're talking, how many pay-per-view channels are there?
Yeah, what do we got, like, you know, 20 or something?
At least 20 pay-per-view channels and at least 20 movie channels. You know, premium movie channels.
A couple here and there, but I don't know. You know, they're very artsy, the ones that I was looking at, you know.
Yeah, I see.
Lots of documentaries about homeless people, about the punk movement. We got movies about people running from the law in other countries. But I don't see. That's the problem. The description that they give, these movies might be brilliant, but I have no way of knowing. Just from the description, I'd have to really, really go into the, you'd have to really look these up more. And that, yeah, I guess we should be doing that. But I wish there was some way of capturing the essence of the movie more than just their horrible description in a few words.
Yeah, I kind of think that that's DirecTV's fault.
I don't know. I don't know. It's always been my problem. I can't ever tell what a movie's about from the title, and the title usually turns me off unnecessarily.
Well, the one movie I wanted to see on pay-per-view was Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And that's like a movie that has, who's it having it? James Spader and Val Kilmer? No. Val Kilmer and Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to see that one, too.
But it's only playing once every, like, 9 hours on one channel on pay-per-view.
Yeah, because they have to take up four channels with just Fun with Dick and Jane.
Four channels
for Fun with Dick and Jane. And not one of them is the original with fucking the banjo-playing man. What's his name? George Siegel.
Oh! I say, I don't know.
He played banjo on Carson all the time.
He did?
Yeah, he's a banjo guy.
The guy from
Just Shoot Me.
From Just Shoot Me?
George Siegel.
He's a banjo playing guy?
George Siegel? Yeah, he plays the banjo and smokes a cigar, and he's kind of funny.
Well,
all I can say is, what are you saying?
Is that there was four channels of Dick and Jane, there was three channels of Hoodwinked, there was three channels of Firewall.
All right, a Firewall. Is that any good? Who likes Firewall? Unless you're like a diehard Harrison Ford fan, what is that Firewall? That sounds like just an unoriginal idea reconstituted into a computer idea so that it's somewhat contemporary.
I don't see the thing is with Harrison Ford is like he can be in really great movies like Star Wars and Blade Runner, and then he can be in really shitty movies like Random Hearts and Hollywood Homicide.
Yeah, but what was the last good movie he was in? Witness or what was that other one where he's running from the law? He's always running from the law.
No, he was in the one where he plays the president on the plane is good. And all those like Jack Ryan ones that he did.
What's
were
the
good.
One where he's run? He's been framed and he's running and he jumps out of some drain pipe.
Oh, that's the one that was like a show.
That one I think was supposed to be
with the one-legged man, right?
With Tommy Lee Jones. Or the one-armed one. Tommy Lee Jones was after him.
One-armed man. Yeah. With the train crash in the beginning.
I don't know.
I don't fucking know what it's called.
All I'm saying is these guys, they're resting on their laurels, and their laurels ain't cutting it.
There's just a lot of crappy movies out there, and a lot of them are going to pay-per-view, I mean, really early. Really early.
Nanny McPhee just sounds like a turnoff to me. But
you know that Flight 93 that just came out recently?
Yes, I think
where they
so.
Used real people from...
Yeah, the one that was all controversial.
You know that that's already playing on regular television? It didn't even go to pay-per-view.
Well...
And it didn't even go to HBO. I saw
Nowadays,
it on the History Channel.
They don't wait anymore. Now it's a multimedia release. They just, you know, ba-boom. Every outlet possible all at once. It's not even a matter of if the movie was any good. Back in the day, it was. Now it could be a brilliant movie. It's going to be out next week on fucking cable TV.
Yeah, I mean, I remember back in the day, and I'm talking like the late 70s, when you had to wait a good year or two for a movie to show up on HBO.
That's pretty true.
I mean, a year or two. So that was why you ran out and saw it in the theater.
They probably had licensing. They had the licensing. They had to play it out all over they could. And then when they finally milked it to the last bit, they're like, all right, now you guys take it.
Well, and there was no pay-per-view back then. There was no pay-per-view. It was see it in the movies, wait a couple years and see it on HBO, or wait a couple more years and see it on like ABC or CBS, all cut to hell.
Well, at some point, you see, the world actually ended and... they replaced it with a fake world. But they didn't really, it wasn't very visible to us.
Oh, really, Coppertop?
No, I'm just saying, around in the early 90s, I think it all finally came to an end. It started to end in the 80s, but then in the 90s, that was it. Basically, Kurt Cobain died and they shut the world off.
Is that what you think happened?
Yeah, because it's completely fake now. It started getting fake. In New York City, you could say right after Dinkins left office, the world ended.
So you... In what way did the world just any?
Well, anything that was actually real and progressive became fake and illegal.
Oh, under Giuliani,
yeah, and
the
just,
fascist.
You know, just basically, you know, it's hard to pinpoint. But those of us who were there and saw it happen know what I'm talking. You know what I'm talking about.
But there will be those who say, "Well, but crime is down now."
Hey, it's true. If you extinguish a beehive, there will be no more bees,
and there will be no more honey.
That's exactly right.
Is that the point you're getting to?
No, but that's a very nice underlying thing here, there. It's true. Take the good with the bad.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember. I mean, you know, it is safer to walk in some parts of New York City now, but they're also, you know, it's hard. Musicians can't play on the street. People can't sell their stuff on the street. There used to be artists selling stuff. Now there's just like guys with fold up tables selling, you know, pirated movies and fake Louis Vuitton purses and stuff.
Fake Louis de Palma items.
Louis de Palma items.
You know, fake stuff like that.
Anyway, so this all being said, we went into our own archive and we picked
The Matrix. Or shall I say, The Matrix.
Indeed. So, have you seen The Matrix all in one sitting before, Dave?
Have you seen The Matrix, baby? Standing in the shadow. No. Have you seen your mother? Have you seen the... Okay. yes, I did see The Matrix all in one sitting.
Where? At home?
I think, yeah, the very DVD that we have now, I watched with you in Jersey.
Okay, so about 6 years ago was the last time you saw it.
Yeah, I didn't like it the first time at all.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just didn't like it. I had no time for it. I don't know why.
Yeah, see, it's hard to get you to sit down to watch movies. So what? Okay, what? You don't know why? It was just you didn't have time, or? I can't imagine.
Oh, you know what it was? There was a lot going on. It seems like there's a lot going on in that movie, and you almost need to watch it twice.
Well, that's true.
Because on one level, it's just kind of weird action movie, and then on the other level you got all this other stuff going on, and it's hard to really take in everything, you know, at once for me anyway.
It's true you do have to watch it a few times. There's little things that you catch or whatever, but so you watched it today for the second time then.
That's true.
And did you like it better this time?
I liked it better this time. Yeah, I liked it better, definitely. It was pretty good.
Now, last week we did
very
our
impressive, actually.
Last week we did our review on The Producers, and at no point did we give the plot.
Well,
so let's make sure we give the plot of The Matrix. Though I think The Matrix has really pretty much been seen by just about everyone at this point.
Yes.
What would you say the plot is?
I would say, that's for you to do and me to kind of embellish.
Okay.
But I would say, let me just say one thing.
Okay.
The themes that they hit on here, this almost seems like a... this almost seems close to like a Japanese concept. Like a Japanese movie.
Why do you say that?
Because like the whole idea of them stealing the energy of the people and using it to energize them. You know, stealing the life force of people. The alternate dream world. It's sort of very similar to, I don't know, like Final Fantasy and...
It's not a dream world, though.
Excuse me?
It's not a dream world. It's the Matrix. It's a computer program.
Same thing. Dream world, computer program. It's not real.
Right. Exactly. It's not real, but it's interactive.
I'm just saying that...
it's a dream that you share with every other copper top.
Yeah, I mean, these are concepts that are in all kinds of cultures, but it just had... It reminded me of some sort of like a... I don't know. It reminded me of something we'd seen. You go with the plot.
The plot basically is that we have our star, Keanu Reeves, who I have to, you know, again, people love to bash Keanu, but I think he does a great job in this. He plays Thomas Anderson, who by day is a mild-mannered software developer and by night is a hacker whose name is Neo. Right? You with me so far?
His name is Neo.
His name is Neo, and Neo, as you know, if you unscramble the letters, spells one.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
What does Rio spell?
Who's Rio?
Neo from the Duran Duran song.
What?
Her name is Neo.
Oh, God. Anyway, so...
Which brings me to my next topic. I really think that they have to do the musical. Matrix the musical.
Why?
On Broadway.
On Broadway. Oh, my God.
On Broadway. And because this could be a smash. You make it a comedy and you make it a musical. And I'm telling you, this is... You got a hit. The Matrix the musical. I'm telling you.
No.
Yes. Give me a concept that was in the Matrix, and we can make a musical out of it right now.
Neo was the one.
Neo was the one. Da da da. You know that kind of stuff. He's the only one. Yeah, da da. You know that's the. You know.
Are you? We can even
get Joey Pants to star in it.
Joey Pants. Okay.
He's gonna play Neo.
No,
oh, that's the twist.
Neo is a young, strapping man.
Okay.
And of course we
well,
have
you
Trinity.
See where I'm going. I'm just saying, either animate it or make it a musical because that's the trend.
I think there is a Matrix animated series or something.
Okay. Well, I still think the musical will work.
All right. Well, that's fine. Anyway, the plot of the movie is that Keanu Reeves, aka Neo, has been, I guess, searching in his off time for Morpheus. I guess there's a hacker underworld out there, and perhaps rumors have been flying about the Matrix. What is the Matrix? Everyone's heard of it, or in this circle anyway, everyone has heard of it, but no one's quite sure what it is. And somehow, Morpheus and Trinity and other people who are involved in the Matrix or who know what the Matrix is, they contact him. And they offer to tell him what the Matrix is, but it's pretty much once you go, you can't come back. Right?
Yes, a digital Alice in Wonderland.
It's exactly right. And he says, okay, let's go. And I guess he had no idea, but when they show him what the real world is, it's like Dave was saying, it's humans are just really being used as batteries because the humans had developed... artificial intelligence and to the point where, and this is even in the news today, they've developed AI that can build itself, replicate itself, fix itself.
Yeah, they basically say it's not a matter of what of if, it's just a matter of when the artificial intelligent robots will actually take over.
Right. And so in the Matrix, what happened was that the AI and the humans got in a war. And because the AI had all been run on solar power, the last ditch effort of the humans was to knock out the sun. They basically, I guess what they did was they nuclear Armageddon, basically something to make the sun not come through the atmosphere.
They scorched the...
they scorched the sky somehow. Yes. And so the AI... They're artificially intelligent. They converted their power source from the sun to human bodies.
Which is the natural progression.
It's kind of scary. And you got to remember, this movie came out in like 99. And computers were basically new. The internet was new. What you could do with computers were new. This movie was really mind-blowing. And that opening scene with Trinity...
Yeah.
When she just starts fighting the cops and she is flying through the air.
Was this the first movie to do that or was flying...
Yes.
Crouching Dagger.
No.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden, whatever.
No.
Flying...
Tiger,
Asian.
Dragon, Asian.
Crouching white guy flying Asian.
Mm-mm.
No.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh, House of Flying Asian.
I have not seen House of Flying Daggers.
I like that one. That's a good one.
But we did start seeing the Kung Fu Hustle the other day, which was, I had never seen it before. And I gotta say, that shit was hilarious.
Word on the street is that's a pretty funny movie.
I couldn't believe how hilarious it was, because I don't normally, you're the ones who told me that there was like no sarcasm in Japanese people, right? They don't.
That's what I've been told.
They're not really into sarcasm or whatever, but it seems like the Chinese as a people are much more hilarious than I ever imagined. Because somehow when I think of Chinese people, I don't think of them as being side-splittingly hilarious.
Well,
but the Kung Fu Hustle, which
I don't know what to say about that.
Kung Fu Hustle was so ridiculously hilarious. I mean, so funny.
Well,
and I usually am not
maybe,
a fan.
Maybe we'll have to review that one.
Well, I'm usually not a fan of subtitles.
Ah.
Because they're distracting. I got to read and I got to try to look. And then there's a couple movies that, despite them being subtitled, they're really great. Life is Beautiful, I would say, is probably the number one subtitled movie I've ever seen.
Das Boot.
I did not see Das Boot.
How about The Boat?
Did you see Das Boot?
Yeah, when I was a kid back then, and all I know was Das Boring.
Yeah. Anyway, are we going to have a difficult time talking about The Matrix?
Why? What did we just say? We were talking about it.
Yeah, but then we went into House of Flying Daggers.
Well, I could just say that The Matrix, it hits on some concepts that some people talk about, you know, like being in a virtual prison and, you know, how if you free your mind, your ass will follow. That kind of concept, if we can quote George Clinton. You know, these ideas that people have been throwing around for a while. So The Matrix, all I'm saying is The Matrix actually probably does exist in a less evil form.
Well, it's right.
It just depends on how you look at it.
I wouldn't even say probably exists. I would say The Matrix does exist. It's just that we are not literally acting as batteries, but our life force is continuing.
Well,
whatever it is that's happening out there in the world.
We go under the impression that there's actually time, you know, that time exists. That's kind of, it rules us. As long as we think that there's actually a time continuum, we're trapped in these dimensions. You know what I'm saying?
No.
It's just like, we can't exist. We can only exist on these planes because we've trapped ourselves within the rules of physics.
I see.
But if we could think beyond those rules, then we might be able to get out of this virtual prison that we're actually trapped in. See, that we're trapped by time and dimension. You know what I mean? It's like that's what I'm talking about, like a David Icke type thing.
I see.
So that's what they, you know, that's the reality. We think we're just these three, you know, we think we're these, you know, living human beings, and that's all we know. And we do this in time.
Wow, Dave, I think you might have just totally baffled many people.
You
gotta
eat a lot of acid in order to get to this stuff.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, and I'm not saying you should do that.
Yeah, I think it sounded like you were.
But in order to start thinking this way, you gotta free your mind of the confines of what we think is normal.
Well,
Yeah. I'm not really good at talking about this stuff, but I've read enough of it that I know that it exists. And these concepts are definitely interesting.
What did you, so when you first watched The Matrix, were you just having a bad day or something?
I don't know. I do know that I wasn't so impressed with all the effects at the time.
Really?
Yeah, like all that swinging camera, 360 degree type thing. I wasn't impressed. I didn't care at the time.
Wow.
I don't know. It seemed more impressive now, actually.
It's real. I mean, to me, it was just mind blowing, and I just really liked all of it. I just love the story. I think the acting is really good. Hugo Weaving does such a great job as Agent Smith.
What else has he been in?
He was an elf in Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
And he was the lead in V for Vendetta.
Right. Interesting.
Which was also, I believe, a Wachowski Brothers production.
But he had that damn mask on the whole time.
Yeah, but his voice is very, you know his voice.
So it was directed and written by the same people?
Yeah, the Wachowski Brothers.
Goddamn Wachowski Brothers.
They're pretty talented brothers, I'd say.
What else have they done?
Well, they've done all three Matrixes, and they've done V for Vendetta. I think they've been pretty busy.
I mean,
that's four movies in 6 years, 7 years. What would you give The Matrix on a scale of 1 to 10, Dave?
I would give The Matrix a 7.5.
Oh, really?
Yes. Is that good?
No.
Well...
But I'm not going to ask you to change your opinion.
I really can't see giving it much more than that.
Why is that? What takes away the 2.5 points in your eyes?
I think that they could explore these ideas that I'm talking about further, and they could get more out there and have more of that going on and less of the special effects. I would like less special effects and more special
Olympics. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Less special effects and more special intellects.
No, Dave. It's the movie's about what it's about.
I want it to be deeper and less nonsense and more conceptual.
What part was the nonsense?
The whole part with Joey Pants pulling the plugs. That whole part. I don't need all that. That was just like filling. That was just trying to make it an exciting story.
See, part of the plot.
I know, but I'm telling you, I'm saying what intrigued me about this was the concept of the virtual prison.
I see.
And all that goes along with it, and how our society is nothing but a farce, and our existence is just a perceived image of what they want us to think it is. I like those ideas. I don't need the pulling of the plugs. I don't need the running around Smiths. All that stuff, that's the stuff that I didn't really care about. Because I'm not a sci-fi guy. I'm more of like a psychedelic, open the doors of perception guy.
All right, well then, I guess I can see your point. I would give it a 9.
All right, well, because you're more into the sci-fi.
I am much more into the sci-fi.
Oh, and let me tell you, okay. That woman who played Trinity, she needs to be hotter.
Carrie Ann Moss.
She's got to carry on my wayward son, man. She ain't having it.
What?
You got to carry away.
Are you serious?
Yeah. She was let's be honest about her.
Are you kidding me?
She wasn't really attractive. They needed Angelina Jolie in there.
Oh, my God, Dave.
Carrie Ann Moss. And Kate Moss. You know,
what?
She was like flat chested, like Kate Moss.
She was not flat chested.
Well, we didn't see enough of her breasts then.
Because she was in, we were seeing her in the real world where they were all wearing tattered clothes because clothes are.
I need more trippy concepts and better looking lead ladies.
Oh my God, you are just a horrible person, aren't you? That's horrible, Dave.
And now, is it me?
Yes.
Or was Morpheus clearly gay? And actually, a few of the things he said to Keanu, I was like, that's when the idea of it becoming a musical came to me, because the things he said were so creepy and obviously gay. Like, you've been looking for me for a couple of years, but I've been looking for you my whole life, he says to him. And then he's like, it was just creepy.
Because he knows he's gonna save the human race.
Keanu should have been like, ooh, that's kind of weird. Maybe I don't want to hang out. And he's like, do you still want to meet? And he should have been like, maybe not, actually. I don't think so. I think you're stalking.
So you thought Morpheus was gay?
Morpheus is, yes. He's a Morpheus.
I don't even know what to say.
Well, yeah, I'm just giving you a little different look at the movie. You know, from a side perspective.
I'm speechless. Let's get off of The Matrix for a second.
Oh.
And let's talk about Bob Dylan.
Ah, Bobby Dylan.
We saw on PBS, they had the Bob Dylan, it was a Martin Scorsese documentary about Bob Dylan called Bob Dylan, No Direction Home.
Right.
And I thought it was actually really good.
I thought it was really good, too.
It was interesting because whenever I think of Bob Dylan, I think of his songs. I don't really think of him speaking.
Yeah, he's famous for not speaking. No one knows what he sounds like. No one hears interviews with him. He never gives interviews.
Apparently, someone had interviewed him had 10 hours of interviews. Martin Scorsese did not interview him. This was just already interviews that they had lying around for some reason. And they wanted to put something together themselves. And I guess they asked him to help. And he came in and put it together. But Bob Dylan is, you know, and now he has an XM radio show.
That's right.
And we have yet to hear it. But Bob Dylan seems very cool, very laid back, very hip. And the documentary really showed, like, I was a little too young to, or maybe not even born, actually, when he was really, like, the poster boy for the folk rock scene. I guess that was, what, back in 65-ish?
Yeah, about then. Even before, though.
Yeah. I mean, he was the big deal. I mean, he was...
I'd say from about 61 to about 66.
He was getting, like, Michael Jackson-type coverage. Right? The press was following him around. They were taking pictures. They were asking him questions. He was having press conferences all the time.
And yeah, he was huge.
He was enormous. And the press was asking him the worst questions.
See, because he wasn't just seen as a musician, as a pop star. He was seen as a social commentator and someone to answer for the, you know, he was seen as someone who could answer for the youth.
Yeah, the youths. Know.
He was the spokesperson for a new generation of rebels.
The left, the hippies.
And he was carrying on the torch from the folkies, from the beatniks.
Right. Though
he was pre-hippie.
He was that, as you think?
Yeah, he came around 1960. He took the beatnik thing and brought it into the hippie thing.
Hippies
started getting into him.
Ah, okay. All right, I think I understand what you're saying.
I mean, hippies didn't really start really making this, weren't really known about till like around, I'd say, 65.
Right.
Anything before that was just like folkies who had their hair, just didn't get a haircut.
Right, I see. And he was, I mean, they followed him everywhere, and the questions they were asking him were ridiculous. And this documentary had all this great footage of press conferences from back in the day.
It just shows how stupid the media was and how hip he was.
I mean, they were asking him ridiculous questions, and he was just like, well, how do you want me to answer that? That's, you know, these questions you're asking are, I mean, not cool.
Yeah, the funny thing is, like, by the time I was conscious of Bob Dylan, that was like the late 70s.
Right.
And by that time, he was already made out to be a fool. People looked at him as like a wash-up and someone who didn't know who he was. He was going from, he came out with that Serve Somebody song. He is a born-again Christian, and people thought Bob Dylan doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's switching religions. People didn't respect him.
Is he still a born-again Christian?
I don't think so. I think he dropped that. But anyway, I mean, that's his right to do what he wants and to go on his own spiritual journey. That's up to him.
Right.
And he doesn't just because, I mean, I'm telling you, he is perceived as someone who is a little wishy-washy and not really like, not really fully together. But back in the early 60s, when he came on the scene, that hadn't happened yet. He was like...
Yeah, but was he perceived like that only after the media portrayed him to be like that, since he was so unaccommodating to them?
I don't know.
I mean, it would seem that might have been what happened, because he was just not down with their stupid questions and looking to him to answer these... I mean, they were just asking ridiculous shit.
He was hard. He was on the scene hard from like 60 to like 66. Then he got in the motorcycle accident and kind of disappeared to like the early 70s. So by the early 70s, then they didn't know what to make of him.
Well, this documentary only covers up to the point to the motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
And so I guess it stops at 66. But I mean, his lyrics were really heavy. And it did show, of course, the famous, Newport Music Festival?
Yeah, Folk Festival.
The Folk Festival, where him and his band came out.
Butterfield Blues Band.
The Butterfield Blues Band
with
came
Mike
out.
Bloomfield.
With Mike Bloomfield.
On guitar.
And they played Electric. And there were some booing. And I can't imagine, that's what I couldn't understand. Were these folkies that loved their folk music so much, were they so adverse to change that they would boo? I mean, it sounded great to me.
They respected their tradition so much that they didn't realize that they were being square in their outlook.
They were totally being square, and they were having a panic attack because he was playing electric instruments. I mean, I can't even imagine. Why wouldn't you just sit back and say, well, you know what? This is his thing, man. This is what he's currently into. Let's listen to it.
Well, maybe some people did.
It's kind of like when First House went through their rude boy phase.
No comparison. Don't mention. Bob Dylan was revolutionary.
When First House went through their rude boy stage, I was like, oh, I'm not sure what this rude boy stuff is, but I'm going to go with it because I like the band anyway.
Yeah, I heard Pete Seeger wanted to cut the wires at the Nightingale. He was so offended.
He was so offended.
Arlo Guthrie was doing his Rasta dance. Before you know it, we had Pete Seeger plotzing.
Bunga-da-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-bum. Send me some Rude Boy.
No, I can't do that. So, yeah, you got the Dylan over there. And then what happens is you get your Dylan in his 70s. Like I said, he's freaking out. Oh, but then he came out with that Hurricane song. He had that Hurricane tune.
When was that?
1975. And,
oh, really?
About Reuben Carter.
Right.
And that was a bit of a hit.
What about Tangled Up in Blue? That was a hit, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was like...
Like that was the 80s.
No, that was the 60s.
It was?
Wait, no, that's it's all over now, Baby Blue. Tangled Up in Blue might have been as late as the early 70s, but I don't think so. I think it's the late 60s.
Really? Because I remember when the video came out on MTV in
Bob
like
Dylan?
83.
Bob Dylan video?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was someone capitalizing on MTV. That was not current.
Well, it was current. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it wasn't the original version.
Right, okay. It was, yeah. It was, I mean, because it was a newer DVD. I mean, a newer music video. So that was old, too. So maybe, I don't know why he would do a music video then. But the documentary didn't go into any of this stuff. But I thought it was really good. The worst part of the documentary, of course, was at the end, after it was over, they had like a 20-minute interview with Martin Scorsese.
And, is he related to Martin Scorsese?
And Charlie Rose.
Charlie Rose, was it with a black background?
Exactly. And Charlie Rose is one of those people that I imagine Bob Dylan would have hated. Because he tries to ask these questions that just make no sense and they go nowhere. And I just cannot stand Charlie Rose.
You know, sometimes, you know, the best way to interview someone is not to ask them those stupid questions. You should just start talking to them about other stuff. And when you get a conversation going, you can get an insight into what the person's about just by the things they talk about. You're not going to ask him, you know, is he a spokesperson for his generation? Just ask him what he thinks of, you know, where he's living. How do you like that neighborhood?
Right.
Before you know it, you'll realize that he is the spokesperson for his generation. Assholes.
And I just want to also mention quickly, I saw a documentary yesterday about, also on PBS, about Niagara Falls.
Oh, a documentary. A documentary. What do they say? What was it? Documentary.
What? You mean the lady from the pet store?
Yeah.
She says...
Oh, documentary.
Documentary.
On Broadway.
On Broadway. No. And it was a documentary about Niagara Falls. And I've never been there, and I don't live that far from there, maybe 4 or 5 hours. And I've never been, and I just started watching it, and it gave the history of the falls and how for hundreds of years before the United States, or before the settlers came and claimed it. It had belonged to the Indians, of course, and I think also the French, because it was part of that territory. And they had all left it alone and left it to be what it was. I mean, the Native Americans who lived around it said that Niagara Falls was actually part of their religious creation. Their version of creation was really built around Niagara Falls. So it was a huge deal, Niagara Falls, to a lot of people. And you'll be happy to know, even as early as 1800s, white people were coming in and fucking everything up. They came in, they started building factories alongside it, really uglying up the whole view. And then somebody came in and said, no, 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 we got to take these factories down. This is awful. This is ruining everything. So they took the factories down. And then what they started doing was they started taking boats and putting animals on the boats and charging people to watch the animals fall to their deaths at the bottom of the falls. They would just put all these animals on a boat, let the boat go.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, we're talking about like bears and dogs. Like somehow people paid. I mean, and this wasn't just a one-time event. People did this all the time. Paid to see animals go over the falls on a boat to their deaths. I mean, what the fuck? How is that amusement? Are you kidding me?
I don't know.
So at this point, you know, my Niagara Falls fantasy in my mind, what it's about, is starting to turn sour. And then they let you know that, well, actually, engineers have changed the way the falls look. Engineers, it's no longer natural the way Niagara Falls looks. They actually have gone in and changed the land underneath the falls, blown some stuff up, moved some stuff around to make the falls look what they think is nicer. As if nature couldn't do a good enough job itself, these engineers came in and basically re-engineered the way the falls look.
Nature doesn't know what the hell it's doing.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And so, and there was a guy on the documentary, he's like, are they going to do that to the Grand Canyon? You know, if people don't like the way the Grand Canyon looks, are they going to re-engineer it?
Why not?
Well, that's what he said. I mean, what new low will you go to next? So then they had another guy saying how beautiful the falls used to look and how people used to come on a full moon to come and look at the falls. And under the light of the silvery moon, the falls would look very romantic and it would be a really great, beautiful thing to see. And of course, now that doesn't happen anymore because now they have these horrific colored floodlights pointed at the falls all night. And we're talking green and red and purple. I mean, it just seems like it's the cheesiest shit ever.
Purple.
I mean, they showed these huge falls, and then they showed how it looks at night with these lights. I mean, are you kidding? Are you
what,
kidding?
You don't like it when you paint the bottom of your trees white?
Yeah, please.
You don't like multicolored lights on your trees?
It's just...
Fiesta.
It looks horrible. It looks horrible, and it's convinced me not to even go and see the falls now because it's not normal. It's not natural the way it is now, and they've got these stupid colored floodlights. I can't imagine. I mean, they've ruined it. They've ruined something that just should have been left alone. I mean, I can't. How could people do that? How could people think that that's for the better? And then, of course, at some point, you know, the Native Americans owned land along the area because it was theirs to begin with. And some fucking business guy comes in and bribes whoever he has to bribe and takes half of their land so he can build a power plant there. I mean, it's just ugly. That whole Niagara Falls area is just an ugly part of American history. And I urge you to look it up because I was totally you know, blown away by it. It's just awful. It's awful what's happened up there. But, the other interesting thing was that there was a competition, Dave, between Edison and Tesla because they were trying to harness the energy of the falls to light the surrounding area.
I'll take Tesla over Edison any day.
Well, Edison was saying how Tesla's ideas were insane, and Edison was so against Tesla's ideas that he went out and would have these huge exhibitions where he would show what would happen if you used Tesla's idea, and he would basically electrocute dogs and cats to get his point across that Tesla's idea was wrong. So Tesla met with the power plant people. Edison met separately, and the power plant people went with Tesla. His idea made the most sense.
Tesla fucking rocks.
His idea made the most sense. They built it. People were so against it that when it finally, after it had been built, and they flipped the switch to turn it on, for it to light up these towns 20 miles away, no, there was no ceremony. because people had been believed that Edison was right and that Tesla's idea was going to fail so horribly that they didn't even, there was no ceremony. They just, one night, they just turned it on and it worked. And that was it.
Tesla got ripped off.
I think he did get ripped off, but I thought that was interesting.
He died a poor man. Dishonored and ashamed. Well, not ashamed, but broke and without respect.
It's kind of true.
And that's what I'm getting to. Tesla the musical. Eh? Sort of like a Fiddler on the Roof thing. Tesla.
Who would play Tesla? Jack Black?
That could work. If yes, because he can sing. He's a song and dance man. I think that'll work.
There you go. All right. Is there anything else you wanted to say? Do you have anything you wanted to say about The Matrix that has nothing to do with Morpheus being gay? Because I have to disagree with that.
Well, let's just say he was open-minded.
All right. Well, I mean, if this, you know, the dating pool was very small. You understand how it's very small in the real world? Since there's not a lot of people that are hip to what's going on. Most of the people are just lying in cocoons, getting their life energy sucked out of them.
True.
So he could be very open-minded.
I like Morpheus. I got no problem with him. My problem lies within... No, I don't have a problem. The movie was beautiful. It's a beautiful experience. I suggest everyone go out there and experience it.
I think probably everybody has. I think that's what, like I said, I think that's a movie that probably 90% of the population has seen.
True.
And especially an audience, a podcast audience, I would say 99% of a podcasting audience would have seen The Matrix.
Good. That's a good movie to watch.
I would urge you all to come and visit our webpage at daveandshecky.podomatic.com. Podomatic is P-O-D-O-M-A-T-I-C. And I got to say, if you want to do a podcast, you should go with Podomatic. They even have it so you don't even have to, like, Dave and I record separately downstairs in his studio. But they have it hooked up so you can record right into your computer live.
They're a friendly bunch of guys. Go and visit them at their office. They encourage videotaping.
Oh, they do. They do encourage you to come to their office and videotape.
if you were there, you know what I mean.
Oh, boy. Anyway, so visit podomatic.com and just get your own podcast going, man. It's awesome. And, you know, they offer you a free service. You do not have to pay to do your podcast. You are a little limited in the size of your show, but you know, if you're just testing out a few minutes,
start getting a big following. They'll take it from there.
Yep. Then exactly. All right, anything else you want to say, Dave?
No. Hopefully there'll be a better selection next week.
Yeah.
And we'll take it from there.
All right, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Long, 'cause what you reap is what you sow.